huddle up.
66 HitchX Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby. Boom.
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
He's not here today, but he'll be here next week if he makes it through an Ironman. It is Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet here on ESPN 106.3, live on social media on X, on Facebook, and on YouTube at ESPN West Palm. I am Christian Catt alongside Cade Chumsland for your Week 1 extravaganza. 32 teams entered the season, and all 32 teams have hopes to be better than last year, or as good as last year, if you're one of those 32 teams, the Philadelphia Eagles. Even though we've got two games down, both the teams that lost those games are feeling okay about their 2025 seasons, so hope is not at a premium. Hope is for everybody. It is week one in the NFL. Cade, what's going on, my man?
We finally made it, C-Cat. We've been waiting 9, 8, 7, 6 months for this day, and I could not be more hyped. It's good to see you, my man.
It's good to see you, too. It's good to be here. I woke up with a pep in my step. I woke up feeling a little bit different. You know, it was early for Sunday Huddle, but I couldn't be happier to be sitting in this seat talking to you about what we're going to talk about. And some teams are going to surprise you. Simply put, some teams will not be as bad as you thought they were going to be. Who's going to be last year's Washington Commanders? Who is going to be worse than you thought they would be? Who's going to be last year's San Francisco 49ers? And we have answers for your questions right here today. Call in 888-760-3776, or you can jump in the YouTube chat. You can comment on Instagram. Comment on Twitter. You can comment on YouTube and comment on Facebook. Tell us your thoughts, because today we break down who will be the surprise team of the year. You can take it in one or two directions. You can say who is supposed to be good and is going to be bad. Who is supposed to be bad and who's going to be good. Because I want to start with a team about 50 minutes away from us, and that is the Miami Dolphins. Because if you were dropped on this earth today and you looked up who are the Miami Dolphins, if you just Twitter searched, keyword searched, Miami Dolphins, you would get nothing but negativity. You would get nothing but mockery. And that's a shame, because this team has got some guts. This team has actually had some recent success. You would think that this team is the mid-2010s Detroit Lions. You would think that this team is the history of the Cleveland Browns. You would not think that this team has a top five passer since 2022 in Tua Tagovailoa. You would not think that the Miami Dolphins have a top three 1-2 punch at wide receiver in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Take off the field issues away, and you have some damn good talent with the Miami Dolphins. You have a great running back in Devon Achane, and you have a good pass rush, and they made a big trade to get Minkah Fitzpatrick back in the aqua blue. I am very excited to see the Miami Dolphins start 2025, and I'm not a Dolphins fan, and it makes me sad. It sickens me to see nothing but negativity, not just from the outside noise, because sometimes you'll see that. Sometimes you'll see positivity from within the fan base, and then you'll get nothing but negativity from outside the fan base. Because, listen, it's a lot easier to go into a season thinking of if things go right, being optimistic, looking on the bright side, dreaming of big things, even if the odds of those big things are very, very slim. But the negativity is coming from within. You talk to a Dolphins fan today, and they're thinking, yeah, well, if Tua is healthy, I mean, but that's a big if. We'll see about that. I mean, we still got a plan for 2026. Do you think Arch is going to be in the draft? Maybe Drew Aller can be a Miami Dolphin next year? You shouldn't be thinking about that as a Miami Dolphins fan. I'm not going to tell you how to be a Dolphins fan, but I'll tell you how to be a football fan. You cannot prognosticate an injury that has not happened yet this season. Tua is playing quarterback against the Indianapolis Colts in week one of the NFL football season. You should assume, that Tua is going to be quarterback week two of the season for the Miami Dolphins. Likewise, for week three, because he's not injured. He's not. And don't use those three letters after the words yet. Two is healthy. Tyreek is not a captain, but he is on your team. Jalen Waddle is on your team. Devon Achane's on your team. The cornerbacks are yet to prove you right. We know they're thin at quarterback. We know the Dolphins' secondary could use some work, but they haven't proven that they're poor yet. Watch the game first and then draw your conclusions. Don't doom and gloom before a snap is played. So that's why I think that the Miami Dolphins will surprise people in 2025. If they just win games that they should win, they are this year's Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos didn't beat anybody of note last year. Their biggest win on paper was the Chiefs in Week 18 when no starters played for the Chiefs. And yeah, the Broncos lost in the first round of the playoffs, but that is a Miami Dolphins season that they're used to the past 25 years. Making the playoffs would be a successful season for the Miami Dolphins when you compare their 2025 expectations from everywhere on this planet, including within their own fan base. I think Mike McDaniel's got something to prove, and I think that Pete Schrager with ESPN was talking to Bill Simmons, and he kind of shared those sentiments where it feels like there's no reason why the Miami Dolphins can't put together a season that can at least have you thinking they could win a playoff game. Not just a season that they will win a playoff game, because that is a streak that they're trying to break, and maybe this year's team is not the roster construction that will win a playoff game because of how tough their division is and how hard it will be to be favored in a playoff game this year. But they're not going to be a bottom three team in the NFL. Take a listen to Schrager with Bill Simmons.
Mike McDaniel has been hearing it all offseason that he's on the hot seat and that this thing is kaput. Tua Tagovailoa has heard it all offseason that he sucks and he can't get over the hump and he can't win in cold weather. Tyreek Waddle, guess what? That is as good a 1-2 in the league outside of Cincinnati that you're going to find. And McDaniel can still put up 40, 50 points with his offense. Achane, great running back. And their defense did not have their two best players last year in Phillips and Chubb. They get them back and you get Chop Robinson in year two.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Miami Dolphins this year. I'm more excited for the Dolphins this year than, well, Dolphins fans are to watch the Miami Dolphins this year. If you can see my shirt, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Twitter or on Facebook, you see that, well, I'm not a Dolphins fan. I am a Baltimore Ravens fan. So I have different expectations for my team to deem that season a success. But if you're a Dolphins fan, win 10 games and you're probably knocking on the door of the playoffs, if not locked into the playoffs, you should be seizing the opportunity in 2025. You've got a Indianapolis Colts team on the ropes in their own building with an identity crisis. You're going up against Daniel Jones in week one, who loves to turn the ball over, whether it's on the ground with fumbles or through the air. And you've got a stout defensive line who can cause that to happen. And you actually have an underdog mentality. Are you kidding me? As 1.5 underdogs on the road, the Miami Dolphins are going to shock some people this year, and I think it's going to start week one. Believe it or not, like imagine you asked that question 2 years ago, that it would be a somewhat surprise for the Dolphins to beat the Colts when the Dolphins have all their starters healthy and ready to go. It's crazy how the tables have turned and how the pendulum has swung. Cade, what do you think about the Dolphins in 2025?
I think the Dolphins are really set for week one. And I can't really say much about them after that. This is going to be a week-by-week affair for these Dolphins. Because although you say you're going to trust on Tua being their week two, can you really? I'm just looking at years past and what we've been able to see. By week two or week three, this man's taking headshots that he should not be, and he's going down for several weeks. On paper, this thing is insane for the Dolphins. Their depth chart is absolutely stacked. There's some guys who we need to see prove themselves. But there's guys who have already proven themselves at the specialty positions and at the quarterback spot, but can they all be there for the entire season? We've already you just heard Schrager talk about that defensive line. That defensive line also has injury problems that keep lingering on and on and on. So while I'm excited about today, while I'm excited about them taking an underdog mentality about the Indianapolis Colts, I think just history has shown that you cannot trust this team for a full 18-week schedule. It's almost like how we think about the Chiefs from the other way around. The Chiefs keep looking like they don't have all the things together. They don't have all of the pieces and parts. They keep dealing with extracurricular nonsense, but they always seem to make it to the big dance in the end. For the Dolphins, they always seem to have the right pieces together. They have the coaching staff that should be able to win games, but they never really seem to pull it off in the end. Almost like how the Steelers keep making that first round and will never be able to get beyond that for the last 6 years. As much as I want to see the Dolphins do well, and as much as I see them on paper as a stacked team, especially in a weaker AFC East, do I trust them beyond week one? You can answer that question after today, I think.
Yeah, but again, I'm telling you how to sports fan here. I'm not telling you how to Miami Dolphins sports fan here. When you watch a movie that's rated PG-13 and the title of the movie is Superman, and it's the first of the series, I think you can imagine that Superman's going to be all right when the credits roll and you're walking out of the movie theater. I think that whatever peril that he's going to go through, he's probably going to make it on the other side quite all right, despite the drama, despite putting his health in doubt. I think the main characters of the movie are going to be all right. But that doesn't mean you can't feel it from minute one, week one, to minute 180 to the end of the movie. You got to ride the roller coaster. You can't skip to the end. You can't skip to the end if you're a Dolphins fan because you look at the past 5 years with Tua and things didn't go all right. Things didn't go to plan. Health did catch up. The Dolphins did show that maybe when it gets a little bit colder, they're not quite as effective. You got to ride the highs because the highs are going to be there. We're going to turn around and at the end of week seven, the Dolphins might have 5 wins. They're going to beat the Colts. They're going to beat the Patriots, the Jets, and the Panthers. That's not that unrealistic. And then they could beat one of the Browns or the Chargers. Like, that is not crazy. Like, if you do a moneyline parlay of all those games, you might get very good value. Because I think that the Miami Dolphins are very undervalued. And you can't actually bet on the money lines of those games quite yet because those lines aren't posted. But roll over your money line bets. Right now, you could probably turn your $100 into $100 or $210, depending on what the line is currently with Hard Rock Bet, because it might be shifting throughout the day as more money pours in as it normally does on game day. But you can make a pretty penny on betting on the Miami Dolphins in 2025. And for once in your life of this, for once in the Tua era, they might not be overvalued. So, Kay, like, I'm not telling you that they are going to win a playoff game or even win their division, but I'm telling you, they're not going to be a bottom five, bottom 10, or even in the bottom half of the NFL this year. They're going to be knocking on the door to the playoffs because they're going to be beating teams they should, because I'm not going to expect that we're going to have Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers taking snaps in the second half of the season. I can't expect that because it hasn't happened yet. Unless there was reports in training camp that Tua was walking around in a boot or Tua didn't have his helmet on because he had a head injury, then I'm going to take it for what he is. He's healthy right now. He was not healthy for a lot of last season. He got hurt 2 years ago as well. But when Tua is healthy, he is a highly productive passer in the NFL. And he's got all the same weapons. And he's got an offensive line that needs work. We'll see what a complete offseason does with the Miami Dolphins. But unless the Dolphins prove me wrong on the first time I see tangible proof of that, I'm going to take it for what they are. And they are a threat to make the playoffs this year. They're better than the Jets. They are better than the Patriots. And they play both those teams a combined 4 times this year. And they're going to play the Colts. They've got the Browns. They've got the Falcons. I think they're better than the Falcons this year already. And they've got them on a Thursday night game later on in the year. Cade, I gave you my surprise team in the NFL in 2025. What scale are you going with me for your surprise team in 2025? Are you going a team that might surprise people and make the jump from playoff team to, I don't know, in the NFC, AFC championship game team? Or are you going from a in the gutter to playoff team? What are you going today?
I'm going to go with the opposite one. Team that was fantastic last year, but will not meet expectations this year. But I think it's okay. I think this team has too much of expectations on them, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. J.J. McCarthy does not need to do what Sam Darnold did last year. You don't need to win 14 games in your very first start of a season in the NFL. This man saw no playing time at all last year because he got hurt in the preseason. It's not like he got hurt early in training camp and was starting to get back on his feet by the end of last season. This man literally did no physical activity for all of 2024 regular season, and now he's just starting to get into his game rhythm. He doesn't need to make the playoffs. He doesn't need to make a deep run, and he certainly doesn't need to make a Super Bowl run in his very first season, especially since the Bears got better, the Packers obviously got better, and the Lions are still obviously who they are in the NFC North. I think the over-under right now for the Vikings is 9.5 right now. I think that's entirely too high. An 8-9 season for J.J. McCarthy in this division, in this conference, is perfectly fine from a Vikings perspective. You want to give the Vikings hope that they've got their franchise quarterback. You want to avoid going 4-13. That's what you want to do. So I think all of this talk about the Vikings being as good as they were last year, because I keep seeing it everywhere. Everyone's expecting J.J. McCarthy to do exactly what Sam Darnold did in his season. Miraculous season with the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings have this. They have this tendency to go 12-5, 14-3, make this unbelievable run, and then fall short in the playoffs. They've done it two of the last 4 years. J.J. McCarthy needs to just play solid, fundamental football to get better season after season after season, and then one day the Vikings might be able to make their deep run. The Vikings are not going to be a playoff team this year. They don't need to be a playoff team this year. I think they will fall from heaven like they did 2 years ago, like they will this year, and I think it's okay. So for me, I think it's an easy Vikings under on Hard Rock Bet, and I don't necessarily think they have to be that Superman team like they were last year.
I don't know, Kay. The way you said they need J.J. McCarthy to develop season after season after season, I think that's a whole lot of seasons. And even just saying the second of those two, because they made a very underrated transaction about 3 weeks ago leading up to week one, and that was getting Carson Wentz. And I think, wait a second, the Minnesota Vikings are taking a chance on a quarterback who didn't work out to the team that he was drafted for. And that quarterback also did not work out in his second destination with the Commanders. And now he went under a very stable organization like the Kansas City Chiefs, backed up Patrick Mahomes for a little bit, and now he's coming to Minnesota. And I thought, wait a second, I've seen this story before, and it happened in Minnesota where they took a chance on a renovation product on a quarterback. And it happened last year, and it was Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was cheeks. He was written off. Everyone was done with Sam Darnold when J.J. McCarthy got hurt in preseason, like you mentioned last year. After his calamitous failure with the Jets, failure with the Panthers, and then he went away for a little bit. One of the stops was a very stable organization with the San Francisco 49ers, where he was backing up in that crowded quarterback room where Lance, I think, was still there. But Brock Purdy was the star of the show. Brock Purdy was getting the shine. He brought those 49ers to the playoffs, knocking on the door for a Super Bowl run early in his career. But Sam Darnold was still there. He was learning with Shanahan, just like Carson Wentz was learning with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that we are going to see Carson Wentz take starter snaps in 2025 with the Minnesota Vikings at some point this year, not due to a J.J. McCarthy injury. And if it is to a J.J. McCarthy injury, which we cannot prognosticate injuries, I think Carson Wentz could show out. And all reports, not all reports, there are conflicting reports out of Vikings camp in the preseason, in training camp, where they're kind of handling J.J. McCarthy with limited kid gloves, where they're trying to have this egg and nurse this egg and protect this until it can eventually flourish, where he's not being treated like an adult, where he's treating like a young prospect, a young kid, and he didn't have to prove it as the number one option in terms of source of offense throughout his collegiate career with the Michigan Wolverines. That was a run-first team. They beat top 10 teams without having to throw the football in the second half. Well, newsflash, when they're in the NFL, you're going to have to air the football out a little bit. I don't think the Vikings are completely bought in on J.J. McCarthy now that he's the reality. They bought in on J.J. McCarthy when they could have a franchise quarterback on a rookie contract, because those are the two options. Either have a franchise quarterback on a franchise quarterback contract, a la Sam Darnold and the deal that he got with Seattle. They said, you know what? We want similar, not too much of a step back in production with J.J. McCarthy at a much cheaper rate. We're going to take our chances with that. And I think all it took was one camp to make them realize we kind of have buyer's remorse, or lack thereof of buyer's remorse. They knew they had a captain of their team, a productive quarterback on their team with Sam Darnold. They took a chance, and I think they already might regret it. And that's showing with the acquisition of Carson Wentz as their insurance policy. And I hope it's not the right decision. I hope it is the correct decision. I hope they don't completely regret that decision, because it'd be pretty cool for another Big Ten quarterback to pan out in the NFL, because I'm a Big Ten football fan. But we're going to learn a lot early in the season with the Minnesota Vikings. It is Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet, and the Hard Rock Bet party is just getting started. You're on the list. Place your first $5 bet on Hard Rock Bet. If it wins, you get $150 in bonus bet. Yeah, $150 in bonus bets. That's extra firepower to kick off football season. Don't just watch the action from the sidelines. Get in the game with Hard Rock Bet today. Check out this wild stat I found on Hard Rock Bet today. You can find the hottest streaks, the latest line moves, and more all in the Hard Rock Bet stats hub. That's pretty crazy, because if you go on Hard Rock Bet right now, you'll see the trends, you'll see the analytics, you'll see how oftentimes a bet did hit in the stats hub. Right now, Nick Chubb, 21 times in a row, Nick Chubb has 43 or more rushing yards against the NFC East opponents. Maybe you thought some really good defensive lines in the NFC East. The Cowboys a little bit different this year than last year into how good they are interior versus exterior. Micah Parsons, of course, Clark in there instead of him. But Nick Chubb, maybe some value there. His line currently is 39.5. Next game versus the Rams. So you NFC East opponents. Watch out for Nick Chubb hitting the over on his rushing yards today. He's got the Rams. I'm looking forward to that as well. The wait is over. Pro football is back. Hard Rock Bet puts the entire season in the palm of your hands, from touchdowns to spreads to all the biggest games in just a few taps. Place any bet before kickoff on Sunday. So you got some time there. What's the time right now? It's 10:23 a.m. You've got time to get a bet on in. And if you place any bet before kickoff, you'll win a $20 bonus bet if a team scores a touchdown. Any cash bet, all you need is one touchdown on Sunday. It's the hardest bet you could possibly lose. You're going to see a touchdown today. Get involved with Hard Rock Bet. It's available to both new and returning players on Hard Rock Bet. So if you're just downloading the bet for the first time, you'll get that bonus bet for our local, our loyal players on Hard Rock Bet. You'll get that bonus as well. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-AD-MINUTE. We'll take a break. Be right back with some headline hierarchy. What are the biggest stories of the day? Are they even the biggest stories of the day? Had a packed schedule yesterday in college football. It looked like a weak slate to begin with, but a lot of storylines from that. It's headline hierarchy on the other side here on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Red, right, 24 double Puma on one, right, right.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Yes, it is, but it's not with Colin Russo today. He's got better things going on. Well, there's nothing better than week one NFL football. Week two NFL football actually beats it, and week three. There's nothing better to do today than to enjoy the National Football League. You might as well do it with our friends over in Jensen Beach today, because Miami football's back and ESPN West Palm Street team is hitting the road to Castaways in Jensen Beach today from 1 to 3 p.m. Watch Miami open up their season against Indy and enjoy $3 Miller Lite drafts and $3.75 Sun Cruisers during the game. Those are good. Plus, we'll be giving away two tickets to a Miami football game, so come join us at Castaways in Jensen Beach and kick off football. Again, that is Castaways in Jensen Beach from 1 to 3 p.m. We'll be there. There'll be prizes, some good deals, and some good drinks. Must be 21 or older to participate. Please drink responsibly. Well, we have reached the time of the day where we put a hierarchy on the headlines. It's aptly named Headline Hierarchy.
Five mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Cade's part.
One Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big-time headline.
It's time for the Headline Hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
So this is how it goes, Cade. You tell me.
So this is the Headline Hierarchy CCAT edition, week one of the NFL. I've got five headlines from across the National Football League for you, CCAT. I'm going to give them to you one through five, one at a time. You tell me where they should go on the hierarchy based on your preference, how big they are in sports, how big they are for you, and we'll see where we end up after five. The first headline, these are all from week one of the NFL. Let's go back to Friday night in Brazil. The Los Angeles Chargers stun the Kansas City Chiefs 27-21, led by a beauty from Justin Herbert, 25 of 34, 318 through the air, three touchdowns, zero interceptions, a 131 rating. And Quentin Johnston, of all wide receivers, Mr. Drops himself, who had two big-time touchdowns, one to seal the game at the end.
Wow.
What a game on Friday night for the
Chargers.
You can't
call a guy Mr. Drops. That's a little mean.
I guess last year, I kind of can. But where was this game for you on our headline hierarchy?
All right. So there's a couple of factors at play here, because we probably won't even discuss this game in the week to come, because the Chiefs do what the Chiefs do. They'll probably underperform the very lofty expectations that the public has for them. And when they look gross, we kind of say, huh. The Chiefs didn't look very good. That's a dynasty that people talk about, what we're living through right now. There's a lot more flash across the NFL Football League. I think that's going to be number four in the 1 through 5 rankings of these headlines, just the game in general. Quentin Johnston, I thought he was like the number one. I thought Quentin Johnston was going to be the Jamar Chase of that draft, and I ended up being wrong for a while. I'm looking forward to him growing into that role and maybe even being the 1A with Ladd McConkey and the Chargers. So that's why Mr. Drops hurt me to a core. I think that's going to be number four in the headline hierarchy.
Sounds good. Moving on. Micah Parsons is reported to be ready to play in the Packers' afternoon affair at home against the Lions, although his participation will be limited. The star edge rusher has been dealing with a lingering back injury and is supposed to be good to go in some capacity. Your thoughts on Micah Parsons today versus the Lions?
Packers-Lions, very strong rivalry. Feels like the Lions have had a thorn in the side of the Packers for a while now. They've robbed away playoff hopes. They have surpassed them as a better team in that division right now. But specifically Micah Parsons, you're going to call his name a couple of times throughout the game whenever he does get his first sack in a Packers uniform. I think you're leaving a lot of meat on the bone there in terms of these headlines, in terms of how much I care about them. I'm going to go all the way to five, which means wow. I'm boxing myself in a corner here. And I love Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons went to my favorite university, my alma mater, Penn State. I think the Micah Parsons debut in the green and yellow is going to be the worst headline you're giving me in the segment.
Interesting. He went to my mom's high school as well, by the way. She just randomly pulled that out of the thin air last week when she found out about the trade. I was like, okay, now you just... He's been a star for the last five years. She just now broke that news to me.
I was following the Micah Parsons high school recruiting trail when I was in college, because I was in college at Penn State while he was still being recruited, and it looked like he was going to go to Ohio State. And they committed some violations by letting him go to the college game day set, so he didn't go and become a Buckeye. So thankfully, he's a Nittany Lion and had one of the greatest single game performances of all time by a defensive player against Memphis in that bowl game. Really? I didn't know your mom went to a Pennsylvania high school.
Yeah, no, she's a native Pennsylvanian.
How about that?
Moving on in the headline hierarchy, number three. We have our first answers into what Travis Hunter's use might look like today. Mm-hmm. Adam Schefter reported yesterday that Travis Hunter will see the field, quote, every down wide receiver and some and situational corner, end quote. The Jaguars host the Carolina Panthers at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Perfect situation here. Perfect situation here. It's a 1 o'clock slate that doesn't have too much intrigue if you look at it from 100 miles up. People are going to be interested in the Steelers-Jets, of course, with the Justin Fields returning to Pittsburgh in terms of facing his old teammates. And then obviously you have the Aaron Rodgers drama with the Jets. But apart from that, the biggest storyline is got to be seeing Travis Hunter try to do it on both sides. And like you said, Kate, it won't be full-fledged playing every snap that isn't special teams. But if Travis Hunter puts up 2 touchdowns, 110 yards, he will be headlining that 1 o'clock slate. He's going to be the second biggest headline in our headline hierarchy. So I've got the Chargers-Chiefs game, Herbert outplaying Mahomes, Chiefs starting the season 0-1 at 4, Micah Parsons debuting for the Packers at 5, and I've got Travis Hunter debut with the Jaguars, playing both sides, not to the 100% degree, at number 2.
All right, we've got 2 left. We got the 1 and 3 slots available. It has been 4 years since the Cincinnati Bengals have won a Week 1 game. Today, they travel to Cleveland, where all of Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Trey Hendrickson look to break that streak against the Browns.
This game will be number 3 on the headline hierarchy. I think I'm really bad at this game that you and Colin have created, and I apologize for that for the fan, where you're probably screaming at your radio, at your personal device that you are watching the show on, but how poorly I've played my cards. So it's a mid-game apology on my end. I'm going to go 3 because the Bengals should win this game. But in recent history, the Bengals have not won this game. They struggle in Week 1. But the Bengals do have something to prove here. They certainly do, because there's no time to slack off, because if they won their very winnable Week 1 game in 2024 against the Patriots, where everybody and their mama and myself included had picked the Bengals as their Week 1 survivor pick, they were in the playoffs last year. If they won that simple game, so they know they cannot take the foot off the gas and ease into their 2025 campaign. When you miss the playoffs and you have arguably a top 5 quarterback, there is cause for urgency in the following year. That'd be the 3rd biggest headline. So whatever you say next will be the biggest headline coming out of this weekend or today.
You're already having your head hung low. I think you're doing just fine, though. Number 5, the game of the week on Sunday Night Football. A rematch of the AFC Divisional Round. The Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. C-Cat, how you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. You see me wearing my inaugural Ravens t-shirt this season where they homeowned her against the Las Vegas Raiders. Shout out my boy Giancarlo Garcia. He actually picked it up for me at a thrift shop. So I've been rocking it for game day. Ravens-Bills. As a Ravens fan, that sting has not left that I was left with after the AFC divisional round. It's still there. A win in Week 1 would not wash that clean. It's number 1 by default. I'll just get that out of the way. It's number 1 by default, and we'll probably lead tomorrow's shows with the dramatic result of Sunday Night Football, Bills-Ravens. I'm looking forward to the game. I hope Lamar shows up and shows out again, because he played a good football game. He played a good game in the playoffs last year, and his teammates let him down in the AFC divisional round where the Bills did beat the Ravens. Josh Allen is the MVP for a reason. These two are going to go head-to-head for that MVP title once again in 2025. The Bills let the Hard Knocks cameras in their building during training camp because they're confident in what they have. They were also a foot or two away from representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I'm happy with that being number 1. I think that is the top headline from today, going out of today. Bills-Ravens. That makes sense to me.
I don't think this isn't that bad of a hierarchy. Number 1, Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills. Number 2, how much Travis Hunter gets in on the action in Jacksonville. Number 3, the Bengals trying to break their Week 1 losing streak. Number 4, the Chargers upsetting the Chiefs. And number 5, Micah Parsons making his limited debut with the Packers. Maybe you switch 3 and 5 with Parsons and with the Bengals. Maybe that's how I would do it personally. But other than that, not that bad of a debut for the headline hierarchy, C-Cat.
Okay. I appreciate that. I did feel really poor for a second. I felt like I had bungled the entire segment and I'd let down Colin Russo, who is currently running an Ironman in what, Madison? Madison, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I've got his tracker up right now. He's 2.5 hours in. He's on the bike and he's looking all right. This Ironman tracker is a little confusing. There's so many stats and numbers. They keep track of literally everything. Every time you pass a milestone, every time you pass somewhere. So he is currently 19 miles in with 122 miles remaining. He's on a pace of 16 miles per hour. They estimate that he gets off the bike at 3:30 this afternoon. So we'll see what happens there. There's this one thing right here where he says, it says T1 with his transition from bike, from swim to bike. I don't think that's true. I wonder
he's T1. Just good at like drying off. He's the best in the field at wiping himself down with a towel and getting on a bike. That's what that sounds like. Transition time? That's not biking time or swimming time. That's transition time. He just didn't take a sip of water and he's going to pay the price.
It might be true. Now, it's also interesting, though, how far you have to go from the swim to the bike. Do you have to run like a certain distance to get there?
Okay.
Like it might not be like, I don't think the bikes are on the beach or on next to the water. There's got to be some sort of transition because the time next to it is 13:05. That's not 13 seconds, right? That would have to be 13 minutes. Yeah. I'm assuming there's got to be a certain distance that they run from the swim to the bike, maybe.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Or but they've got to put on, because you've got to put on the shoe. You've got to put on the biking shoes. You've got to put on the biking helmet.
Right, because you've got the equipment to do. They call it the tri-suit. I only know this from Colin talking about it on Russo and Rizzo about how you don't have to change clothes when you go from swimming to biking or vice versa. You're wearing the same thing the whole time. The tri-suit for each of the prongs of your Ironman.
But he did say that this bike was going to be what he was most nervous about. So if he can get through this, hopefully...
Like biking or the bike? Because
both?
you can't start by blaming the equipment. That is just a cop-out. If you blame any of your performance on the tools that you're being given with, okay, do you play golf? The worst golfer you know blames the clubs that are in their bag.
The best golfer I know also blames the clubs that are in his bag. So that can go quite a spectrum.
So Bryson DeChambeau, is that who you're talking about right there, about how we got to fix the technology?
And any of them? You see, if you see a golfer whipping around his equipment or looking at it funny, that's another one that they do. They always look at it as like, what'd you do? Yeah. What'd you do on this swing, buddy?
Bryson, I just got to get a club that hits the ball exactly where I want it to go. Isn't that your job, Bryson? Like, I like Bryson DeChambeau. He's one of my favorites. I'm a Crushers fan, for heaven's sake. But don't blame the bike, Colin. Whatever happens, I beg of you. Unless your tire pops. That's the only... Like if your chain falls off, you should have secured it beforehand. That's what I'll say there. What I will also tell you is you got to download the Hard Rock Bet app today. The party's just getting started. You're on the list. You want to get in on the action with us. A lot of bonus coming in from Hard Rock Bet. They're celebrating football the right way. When you place your first $5 bet on Hard Rock Bet, and if it wins, you get $150 in bonus bets. You can set up your next couple of weeks with that bonus bets from Hard Rock Bet. So take something surefire that you want to get that free 150 bonus bets. That's extra firepower to kick off the football season. Don't watch the action from the sidelines. Put the pads on, essentially. Metaphorically, you're putting the pads on by downloading the Hard Rock Bet app today. And like, there are so many things you can look on the app. There's boosts that you can take advantage of, like the 100. So right now, one of the NFL boosts where they're giving you a bunch of bonus here. Jaguars to win versus Carolina. Cash it in. Falcons to win versus Tampa Bay. Taking a little more of a risk there. And one of my favorite bets of the day, the Dolphins to beat the Colts. They're boosting that parlay from plus 463 to plus 519 because Hard Rock Bet wants you to get in on the action. And the wait's over. Pro football is back. Hard Rock Bet puts the entire season in the palm of your hands, from touchdowns and spreads to all the biggest games in just a few taps. It's really easy for the novice bettor and is as intricate as you want it to be for the experienced bettor that wants optionality in how they do get skin in the game. Place any bet before kickoff on Sunday and you will win a $20 bonus bet if a team scores a touchdown. Yeah. I didn't say a certain team for a reason. It's one of the hardest bets you can possibly lose. If any team scores a touchdown, you get a $20 bonus bet courtesy of a Hard Rock bet. That's any cash bet. All you need is one touchdown today. It's the hardest bet to lose. This available to both new and returning players on Hard Rock bet. That's their way of saying football is back and it's here to stay. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-AD-MINUTE. We're going to blitz the book next with Hard Rock Bet because I've got some plays that I want to share with you. It is Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet here live on ESPN 106.3.
Let's go. Double right, scat right, double cowboy. Double right, scat right, double cowboy.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
We got to talk about the new ESPN app. The most live sports, the best championship moments, and so much more. Monday Night Football, college football all day yesterday, NBA, WNBA, NHL, college hoops, softball. It goes on and on and on. Plus, you've got shows like SportsCenter with SVP, Can't Miss Television, First Take with Stephen A., College Game Day, the entire 30 for 30 library. For the first time ever, you can stream all of ESPN, all in one place. It's changed the game for any sports fan. All of us here at ESPN West Palm are so jazzed about the new ESPN app. All these great features, like watching four games at once in multi-view, your fantasy team updates live in-game. I commission a fantasy football league. I'm going to make it a mandate that you have to have the ESPN app if you want to be in our league. SportsCenter is customized just for you. Like Cade likes weird teams that aren't all connected. I like weird teams that aren't all in one city. It's perfect. We get a feed that's customized for our favorite teams as if the Yankees, Ravens, and Penn State all played in the same city. No, they're in my phone in the same scroll. It's perfect. It's all of the ESPN all in one place. Sign up now with the ESPN app. Cade, let's blitz the book. And time to make some money. Cade, what's the format today? Because I like a bunch of these picks, especially my player prop.
So Colin and I are implementing a new version of Blitz the Book, and last year we literally went through the entire slate, and I had to keep track of every single game that we were picking.
You picked every game?
We picked every game last year, and it was a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, pick your spots. Jeez.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to do this time. I need you to figure out which ones you like most and maybe not so much. So what we're going to do, you're going to make three game picks against the spread. You're going to rank them 1, 2, and 3. The one you're most confident in is worth 3 points. Next is 2. The third is 1. So you got 3 points, 2 points, and 1 point. Then the fourth pick you're going to make is a player prop, and it has to be plus money. We want to get some people their money this time. We don't want to get these cheap -120s. So that last player prop is worth 4 points. So you have 10 total points to win. A 4-point player prop plus money, a 3-point, 2-point, 1-point game pick against the spread. I will go first with a game pick. I am loving the Cincinnati Bengals right now. -4.5. A lot of money is going on these Browns, apparently, because that has moved significantly since it opened. I think Burrow has a massive game. I love that everyone's healthy out of the gate from Cincinnati. I think they finally break the streak. They played the starters in the preseason for the first time. I think their head coach knows what he's doing. Give me the Bengals -4.5 as my 3-pointer in game picks.
That's my survivor pick in all the pools I'm in. I like the Bengals. I'm with you, Cade. My 3-pointer, the spread pick that I am most confident in, I told you at the beginning of the show, it is the Miami Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins +1. I think they're going to win outright. 1 point, it's pretty much a pick 'em. I'd like the Dolphins to win in this game. All the talk's been negative about Coach Mike McDaniel, Tua. He's healthy. Tyreek Hill's playing. Might be immature, but he's playing. Give me the Dolphins to win.
I like that pick as well. I'm just going to go pick a bunch of road teams this time. Give me the Detroit Lions traveling to Lambeau Field. They're plus money, +1.5. Listen, I know they lost both of their coordinators. This is still the same epic Lions team, and now they're all back and healthy. Give me a huge game from Aiden Hutchinson. I like the Lions. Not necessarily big, but get them easy plus money. That's my number 2 pick.
If the Dolphins are my number 1 surprise team in the NFL in 2025, my second biggest surprise team is the New York Giants. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I've been saying it for the past 2 months, maybe the last 3 months. The Giants are getting 5.5 points against the Commanders. There's got to be some regression there. There absolutely positively has to be regression there. Daboll is coaching for his job. Russell Wilson is quarterbacking for his career. Take the Giants +5.5 as my second most confident pick against the spread.
Now, I don't necessarily love making picks for my own team or against my own team, but golly, why am I so optimistic today? Give me the Houston Texans at the Los Angeles Rams +3. This is definitely a field goal worthy game. I know they're not having Christian Kirk or Braxton Berrios. Give me a big game from the rookie Jalen Higgins. And I think the Texans, led by Nick Chubb, you already mentioned, he loves playing against NFC teams. He'll have a big game on the ground. CJ Stroud, new him, new year. Give me the Texans.
Taking the Titans +9. Talk about the survivor pools. It seems like everyone has stood in a circle and said, we all believe the Broncos will kill the Titans today. Not so fast. Give me the Titans +9. They'll at least keep it within a touchdown. I think you see a rejuvenated team there with Cam Ward, Calvin Ridley. I'm excited for Tennessee football in 2025.
Definitely think they're going to do a lot better. A little nervous about them in my AFC South. All right, a player prop that is plus money worth 4 points in Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. I'm going back to that Cincinnati game. I still think the Bengals have a massive game. Joe Burrow, if you go click on the game itself, then you make a little bit of a custom play over 300 yards through the air. You can get that at plus 170. Over 300 yards passing, Joe Burrow plus 170 on the Hard Rock Bet app.
I'm sticking with my Titans game, and I'm going with an anytime touchdown score. Calvin Ridley, the number one target for Cam Ward. One of the biggest storylines from that organization all offseason has been the relationship between wide receiver one and Calvin Ridley and their number one overall pick, Cam Ward. Shout out to Hard Rock Bet. That's where you can make those picks. Download the app today, and the party's just getting started. You're on the list. Place your first $5 bet on Hard Rock Bet, and if it wins, you get $150 in bonus bets. Extra firepower to kick off the football season. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Consider about gambling. Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Enjoy the games, folks.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.